The role of the convention is to try to galvanize American people into believing that the true wisdom is in the hands of this party.
Past presidents and 2008 campaign issues from American experience.
The nominating convention in 2008 will be a way of reintroducing the political party to the public and introducing two candidates, neither of whom, of course, are sitting presidents.
I am Daniel Shore. I am the senior news analyst for National Public Radio.
I'm Alan J. Lichtman. I'm a professor of political history at American University in Washington, D.C.
The purpose of the convention has evolved over the years. At one time, it was called a nominating convention. And they got together, and they went back and forth, negotiated in what were called smoke-filled rooms, and eventually came up, sometimes after many, many ballots, with a nominee. That has changed some. Basically, the primaries have, in most cases, made the choice of their nominee pretty well known before the convention. And secondly, television has provided for the parties a chance to do a great deal of advertising by having so that we have now, it's kind of a pageant.
Yeah, conventions have gone through three distinct historical eras. They go back all the way to the 1830s. And throughout the 19th century, through the beginning of the 20th century, conventions were controlled by the party bosses. They picked all of the delegates. The conventions chose the nominee, usually as a result of bargaining and horse trading among the party regulars. Then in the early 20th century, with the advent of primaries, there was the mixed system. Some delegates were chosen by primaries. Some delegates were chosen through open primaries. And as a result, you had a little bit less of bargaining and more of the involvement of the American people. Over the last 30 years or so, now that all delegates are chosen in open primaries and open caucuses, conventions are no longer decision makers. Rather, the primaries and caucuses determine the nominees, and now conventions are the launch of the campaigns. As Dan pointed out, they're pageants. That doesn't mean they're not important, though, because really the public pays attention to a presidential campaign at two critical moments, the party convention and the presidential debates.
Frequently, the choice of the running mate is held up until the convention as a place to announce it.
When Kennedy offered Johnson the vice presidency, no one was happy. The conservatives didn't want Johnson to run with the liberal Kennedy, and the liberals wanted one of their own. Finally, the candidate's brother, Robert Kennedy, paid Johnson a visit.
I was in the room in Johnson's bedroom with Johnson and John Connolly, the three of us alone, on the morning of the nomination for the vice presidency at about 10:30, when Bobby Kennedy stormed in and started screaming at Johnson that if he knew what was good for him, he'd get off that ticket.
I said, your brother came down here, offered him the vice presidency, and Mr. Johnson accepted it. Now, if he doesn't want him to have it, he's going to have to call and ask him to withdraw.
And I am grateful, finally, that I can rely in the coming months on many others, on a distinguished running mate who brings unity and strength to our platform and our ticket, Lyndon Johnson.
1960 shows politics can make strange bedfellows, and strange things can happen at conventions and in the choice of a vice president. Obviously, there was no love lost between the Kennedys and Lyndon Johnson, but they picked Lyndon Johnson because politically they thought he could help in the South and particularly help them win Texas, and indeed they did win Texas.
As both Alan and I have, I think, tried to stress, it is a show. And it's a show used as a purpose of advancing the cause of whoever is going to be the nominee. The one word summarizes the slogan of the Obama campaign. It's the word change. If you don't like the administration that you have now, and most Americans don't, according to various polls, then we're going to change. We're going to change not only this policy, this law, but we're going to change the way politics is played and the way politics is done. As for Senator McCain, his emphasis is that he's not promoting change too very much. He doesn't want to indicate that things have been so terrible. But all the same, he's trying to promote his experience and that he simply can be a president, whereas Obama can't. Well, that remains to be seen.
They're going to need to lay out their big themes, the big ideas that they want to campaign on.
Where is it written that we must act if we do not care, as if we're not moved? Well, I am moved. I want a kinder and gentler nation.
That phrase, Bush thought, would appeal to moderates turned off by Reagan's harsh edges. Another line, inspired by a Clint Eastwood movie, would counter the wimp factor and project an image of strength.
My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no, and they'll push, and I'll say no, and they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips.
It appealed to his sense of good fun, and he did it with gusto, and of course it knocked the ball out of the park.
I thought it was ill-advised, and I argued against keeping it in. The no new taxes part was going to be very difficult to live with.
It was the single best speech in Bush's career.
While George Bush's Read My Lips, No New Taxes pledge didn't stop him from getting elected, it came back to haunt him during his administration when he had to cut a deficit-cutting deal with the Democrats that involved both spending cuts and tax increases, and the conservatives in his own party howled betrayal.
In 2008, the role of the convention appears to be simply to put on stage the stars of that convention and maybe the future ones. The speech makers of the convention indeed may be the future nominees.
One of the most memorable moments in convention history occurred at the otherwise rather obscure Democratic Party convention of 1928. That convention marked the political reemergence of Franklin Roosevelt, who had been the Democratic vice presidential candidate in 1920 and then suffered a terrible bout of polio.
By the summer of 1928, Franklin was ready at last to make his way back into the political world. The Democratic convention was in Houston, and Eleanor had written him, "I'm telling everyone you're going to Houston without crutches." As he boarded the train for Texas, he knew he was about to risk everything. With 15,000 delegates watching, Franklin set out to walk to the podium with a cane, without the aid of crutches. An accidental fall would leave him sprawled helplessly on the convention floor, his political hopes destroyed. With one hand, he gripped the cane. With the other, he balanced precariously on his son Elliot's powerful arm. He appeared to be walking. One reporter described the scene. "Here on the stage is Franklin Roosevelt, a figure tall and proud even in suffering, pale with years of struggle against paralysis, a man softened and cleansed and illumined with pain. For the moment, we are lifted up.
We offer one who has the will to win, who not only deserves success, but commands it. Victory is his habit. The happy warrior, Alfred E. Smith."
The nomination was Al Smith's. but the victory belonged to Franklin Roosevelt.
I think Obama certainly did give an inspiring speech in 2004 that helped launch his campaign. And there are going to be, I think, some future potential candidates, and one certain future candidate, and that is the Democratic Convention keynoter, Hillary Clinton. We have not seen the last of Hillary Clinton as a presidential candidate, and that convention speech is important for her.
My first convention was 1968. That was when there were demonstrations in Chicago over the Vietnam War, and the demonstrations were put down rather heavy-handedly by the Chicago police. With the result, you had a convention itself in turmoil. I can remember Dan Rather being roughly handled on the floor of the convention, Walter Cronkite yelling about the way his correspondent was being treated. It was a disaster.
The danger in a scripted convention is that anything that goes off script becomes the story and the script is readily forgotten. I do hope, though, that the media won't cover conventions like viewers of NASCAR who are looking for the next crack-up. I hope they won't be covering it just to look at the gaffes and the mistakes. Well, I think there are two possibilities. There's the 1968 model, where all of the action was outside of the convention floor, the demonstrations and what some called the police rioting against the demonstrators. We certainly could see protests, but you know, this isn't the 60s. And the parties and law enforcement officials are much more active in controlling and limiting protests. The second thing is the 1992 model, when Pat Buchanan declared culture war and kind of upset the George H.W. Bush message. That's always possible, that someone could get off script and kind of scramble the message.
It is true that more and more people look for slip-ups because they get bored with the general speech-making at conventions. And so if somebody somehow says something a little bit wrong, they seem to love that. And I guess they'll be looking now also so they can say, gotcha.
These are the latest conventions in history. So the American public would be well advised, if not to follow the convention's gavel to gavel, but to pay serious attention, because this is going to be one of those moments where you're going to have your best chance, along with the presidential debates, to learn who John McCain and Barack Obama really are, what they stand for, what issues they're going to be responding to, and what constituencies they are going to be beholden to as president.
Go online to share your comments and watch full presidential biographies. To learn more, visit pbs.org/American Experience. Major funding for American Experience is provided by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. Major corporate funding is provided by Liberty Mutual. Additional funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by public television viewers.